Hello, hello, OdaFest Podcast listeners. My name is Angelo, and with me today are Nancy and Jay.
Hi.
We're back. We have news.
We are. We have so much news.
We have so many guests.
Yes. It's almost like the con is like, I don't know, 70 days away or something like that.
It's less than 60.
Jesus. Yes. That's a reminder. Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Cosplayers, you have less than 2 months.
Oh,
We're creating anxiety and speedrunning this episode because every moment is a moment nearer to the convention.
Yes.
So let us not delay our news and announcements. Welcome to OdaFest, to Yang Ya. Yang Ya is a working actor in Los Angeles whose career has progressed rapidly in the 6 years he's been professionally active. He has brought to life a wide array of characters, including Lance Slashblade in Pixar's award-winning and record-breaking Inside Out 2. Furthermore, he leads the popular Like a Dragon series of video games as iconic character and legendary protagonist Kazuma Kiryu. In the anime space, he has played seminal roles such as Enrico Pucci, White Snake, and Sea Moon, iconic villains and main antagonists in the renowned anime series JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean. He has also been involved in many other acclaimed and high-profile projects such as K-pop Demon Hunters, Krepopolis, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, God of War Ragnarok, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Ghost of Yote, Persona 3 Reload, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Avowed, The Outer Worlds 2, Demon Slayer, Solo Leveling, Sakamoto Days, Detective Pikachu Returns, Pokemon Masters EX, Genshin Impact, Honkai Star Rail, Arknights, Demon Slayer. I thought I already said Demon Slayer. Prince of Tennis, and Lupin the Third, just to name a few. That is not a few. That is a lot.
That is a lot. Oh my God.
That is a career I would love.
If you like anything, you probably like Yang Ya.
Probably.
I think my eyes got crossed while I was reading a couple times there because I swear I already said Demon Slayer, but I didn't. It's a good career to have.
Seriously.
So welcome to OdaFest and bring your career with you, Yang Ya.
Hooray. And VTuber enjoyers, give a warm welcome to OdaFest for Porcelain Maid. Introducing a divorced dad who went out to get the milk but got their soul trapped inside the body of a sexy female doll on the way home. Porcelain Maid is a VTuber, virtual YouTuber, artist, and character designer. He has been streaming on Twitch for over 10 years, doing variety content, collabs, porcelain parlor, and art streams. He is known for his high energy and ability to interact and connect with his community. Find him at twitch.tv/porcelainmaid.
And it's the ever dreamer Chatamus. Inspired from his love for Japanese and Western media, Chatamus YT has developed a hybrid entertainment experience both online and in person with his ever popular panel series, Let's Make a Shonen Battle Arc. Chatamus is a passionate advocate for the convention community, his home. In the journey of his life, conventions have been the beacon with which all roads have led. Chatamus believes that dreams can save the world. His ever dream is to inspire others to pursue their most precious dreams with everything they have. Within the darkness of all things, it is those with the courage to take one more step that shine the brightest. I dreamed an ever dream. Chatamus is a content creator best known for his charisma, live events, and dedication to the convention community. He has many swagtastic panels and events coming to OdaFest 2026 that he absolutely cannot wait for you all to see. You can find him on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok as @ChatamusYT.
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh my God, so many guests.
This is the part about it almost being OdaFest that's a lot of fun. We actually get to make a lot of announcements about who's coming and what's happening and things like all the exciting stuff. And then we balance that with all of the internal anxiety of, oh my God, it's only this many days away.
Real, real. And scrolling Blue Sky the other day and coming across the post about Porcelain Maid coming to OdaFest, like, I'm not on the guest team at all. I find out when guests are coming the same time everybody else does.
I'm on the guest handling team, and I still find out when everybody else knows.
I mean, I think, so,
you know.
In that same space, I used to help book guests, and I also find, to a certain extent, when certain guests were coming. I don't book guests anymore, but like, I only book certain types of guests, and then we had other people who would book, for example, the Japanese VAs. So I wouldn't know who the Japanese VAs were too much, unless I was like digging around in our internal contracts and things
it's
like that, but I didn't do
snooping,
that.
Jay. It's called snooping. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
It's an investigation of the highest caliber.
All I know is that I'm going to be lining up early for my boy Joel's panels.
I'm going to be surrounded by so many talented and wonderful people all weekend.
Yeah.
So look forward to it.
It's very cool. It's very exciting. I actually didn't know that Yang Ya was a voice actor. I actually know him best from his tech YouTube, actually. He covers a lot of tech news, and he's really insightful and interesting about it. I really appreciate his videos.
What do you know?
Yeah.
What do you know?
It's almost like the different aspects of their careers finds different fans.
Yeah, weird,
strange.
Right? Weird how that works. So weird.
And they've worked hard for that. And that's
you know what else has been really weird, though?
Oh?
Windows.
Oh.
Windows has been, really
has been
weird.
So Look. Weird.
Speaking of tech reviewing and talking
just
about
tech. Just update your Windows. Just update your Windows, and then it'll be triple pane and insulated and very nice looking, very modern on your house. It's
energy
not that big deal.
Not energy that kind efficient. Of Windows, Jay.
Not that kind of Windows. We're talking
Microsoft
about
kind.
Microsoft Windows 11.
I don't
11.
Want Windows that are micro or soft. I prefer them large, clear, and hard.
You just reminded me of a very old joke, but let's skip over it.
I have been going through my own adventure trying to replace Windows with some successes, some L's. It do be what it do be.
Mm-hmm. But you're just going to have walls.
A lot of people have been going through some things. Over the course of this last week, the latest Windows issue was that people could no longer read their C drive. You know.
What?
The main drive.
I have not heard about this.
That's
so,
awful.
Nani?
A little fun fact. The reason they call it the C drive is that A and B were reserved for floppy disks in the early days because you couldn't count on having a hard drive to have for C. But
yes.
Now C is the main Windows drive.
Yes. Yes. And they stuck with C.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It turns out that one wasn't actually Microsoft's fault. Just that one. That one actually came down to Samsung. Samsung and their phone management software was causing people not to be able to read C drives. But with all of the other issues that people have had, like for me, it actually is working now. For the last 2 days, clicking on my start button just didn't work.
Oh, okay. Like, it's not like you needed that, right?
I had to use the Windows key on the keyboard or right-click on the start button and get through things from there. like, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Windows put out a blog post the other day talking about how they hear people. They hear what people are saying. Quite frankly, I think they are terrified of the MacBook Neo being actually affordable.
Oh, yeah. And it is very affordable. And like, yeah, it runs on a mobile chip, but I bet you 95% of my parents' use case, perfectly fine. Very satisfied.
I legitimately want to buy one for my mom to replace her 15-year-old laptop.
I mean, you could. And it is, again, very affordable.
That's kind of the point. So, one thing that people have been complaining about in Windows 11 since Windows 11 is that the taskbar is stuck to the bottom. Microsoft has decided that they want to make it a priority to put the taskbar on either side or the top. Okay. Fine. that is a good thing. Why did you ever change it? It has been able to do that since like Windows 95.
Correct. Crazy that they removed that feature. I used to actually have it on the left.
I had it on the top.
I hate having it anywhere but the bottom. And you heathens with your left and your tops baffle me.
So, but you're allowed to. I had a great reason for it. And it's because I used to have the start bar. I had it go away if I wasn't focused on it. Like, it would just slide out of view. And that got really annoying because the more art programs I used and the more things were actually along close to the bottom of the screen, the more it interfered with the usability of it. So I actually moved it to the left.
I experimented left or top. I ended up using it on the top, I think, just because I wanted it to be more out of the way. I felt like somehow I would look at the bottom of the screen more. Like, a lot of how we use computers is basically how you train your eyes. And I felt like, for some reason, it felt less out of, like, less in view when it was on the top of the screen. Like, I'm not usually looking. Gamers don't look up. That's
gamers
a thing.
Gamers don't look up. They don't.
So that is my reason. But now I've just learned that Angelo is a Microsoft taskbar power bottom, and I am a top.
I am a power bottom supremacist.
And apparently I'm a lefty. Which I am good very enough. Much not.
It takes all kinds. And
it
here
takes
we are.
Many kinds. But anyway, I thought
your
that
actions
was
disgust me, but I fully embrace the ability to do it.
You do you.
So, quite frankly, this is something that they said they're going to prioritize, but then they were also talking about how they wanted to improve the usability of Windows. And I'm like, the reliability of Windows, the usability of it. And I'm like, guys, shouldn't you be making it reliable all along? Like, excuse me? Shouldn't that be at the core of what you're trying to do to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing. I've swapped to Linux. Not full-time. I still boot differently now and then. One thing that Linux people love to say is that Linux is more stable than Windows. And maybe in certain circumstances, sure, if you're running Debian on a server and all it is doing is running an Apache system, okay, whatever. If you're running like Arch or Cache or an Arch-based something or other with updated everything, the last time I dealt with something that was that unstable was Vista.
I mean,
so
I
Windows should be getting more reliable. They should be targeting that. It has been slipping in reliability. And it is disappointing.
I'm the least tech savvy out of us three, but is the reliability of it not have to do with how flexible it has to be as like the most used operating system?
Arguable.
Like, it has to be flexible.
But the thing is, a good operating system should, if it is reliable, the OS itself shouldn't crash. Mm-hmm. Parts of it can crash. This is actually something I've been really impressed with Windows since around Windows 7. The graphics driver can crash, and your system can recover from that. A lot of the times, it just does. Now, having that said, blue screens still happen. But overall, if one part of the operating system crashes, if it can recover from that, I would say that's not catastrophic. That's not the worst thing that can happen. If you need to do a full system reboot to get back up and running, that sucks. That's awful. But overall, it has been happening more. Sometimes you can put it on like hardware vendors. You can say, oh, Intel or AMD or NVIDIA, they suck at writing drivers. Drivers, they have sucked. But if whatever Windows is trying to do, and whatever it allows its whenever it allows the software that it's running to integrate so deep with it, that it does take the whole system down if, like, a game that you're playing does something weird. Because everybody knows that game devs make the most bulletproof, wonderful code. One of the biggest examples of this would be things like kernel-level anti-cheats. This is something that people hate. Things like Vanguard with Valorant. I believe League of Legends has their own. Riot has some stuff that they use. That's literally Vanguard. What am I talking about? A lot of kernel-level anti-cheats, they interact directly with the Windows kernel. And so if there is a problem with the game at all, it can very easily cascade and take down the whole system. Windows been talking about trying to get rid of that, trying to disable that, trying to remove the ability of outside software to get kernel level access. We'll see if they do that. But either way, even though Windows has publicly acknowledged that they're taking the L, they want to step back on, like, injecting AI into, like, Copilot, into literally everything. They've recognized that that is a problem. We'll see if they actually act on that. I just don't believe them. I don't know. Maybe I'm just jaded. Maybe I'm jaded and a pessimist.
We're at that
age. I do wonder. I wonder which major AI investor, whether it's Amazon, Google, Microsoft, outside of, like, I'm not talking about the AI companies themselves because that's all they do, but, like, the ones that are integrating AI into their main product. I wonder which one would be the one to back out first. I have a feeling that AI, like, it will back out is probably maybe too much to ask.
All I can
think
tell
what
you
I really mean is like
not Google.
Probably not Google.
Google is Google the best positioned non-AI company on AI because they are the only one right now that is actually vertically integrated.
That's
which
fair.
Is problematic in and of its own, but you know what?
Every other company right now is dependent on NVIDIA. Google is able to make their own Tensor processors. That's really what it comes down to to me, at least.
Nancy, what was your point?
Kind of along Angelo's point, but I was also going to point out that, like, there are other chip manufacturers too, I guess. But
there are.
Those haven't shown themselves to be as, well, I mean, Apple kind of backed out of a bunch of AI-driven things, especially on their chips. So I don't know. I'd really like to see what happens on that end. But he's right. Google makes their own chips, their Tensor chips. Mm-hmm. Apple has their M chips. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And as for AI backing down, just for clarity, AI at this point, for those major players, will never not be a thing. It's just now it's a matter of measuring exactly what their use is. But they're sort of doing the blanket shotgun approach. Put it in everything until we figure out what it's actually useful for. So we'll see.
Exactly. Now.
Anyways. In more fun news, actual fun news.
Hell yeah, I love fun news.
This is great. Real World meets Weebery at its best. The Doctors Without Borders organization has adopted Tony Chopper officially as one of their mascots.
I love this.
This is like light, you know, this is truly bright light in the world where the doctor of the Straw Hat crew of One Piece, if for some reason you're living under a rock and listening to this podcast, is a real world mascot for Real World Doctors Without Borders, an organization that provides medical assistance while trying to minimize things like government involvement or interference from a fictional pirate crew doctor who has no want or desire to affiliate with world governments in that fictional world of their own. I love it.
Like,
there's
it just
no perfect
makes sense.
There's no more perfect matchup than this that I've ever seen in my life.
I love that this is the wholesome that we've all been wanting.
Needing,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine the smile on Oda's face when he got like an email from Doctors Without Borders like, hey, we really, really, really like Tony Chopper. Can he be a mascot of ours? Can we just do that? Because I imagine it had to go through him at some point. I imagine it's not just the, we love this little reindeer. It's ours now.
Mm-hmm. There's also
a
thing.
No, we made this.
There's an additional reason for a certain pride here, because One Piece, there's a lot of Q&As with a lot of the crew members and also with Oda, who is the mangaka, the creator for One Piece. And one of the questions that has been asked in the past is, if each crew member was a real world nationality, what would they be? So, for example, Luffy is maybe Brazilian, Zoro is Japanese, Sanji's very obviously like French. Chopper has been stated to be Canadian.
Hell
and it's
yeah.
Like,
Tony Chopper is the Canadian representation we deserve in anime.
That is sweet. I didn't know
The boy's a reindeer. We got reindeer. He is a doctor. We have some very famous medical, let's say, discoveries that have been made in Canada. Not that other countries do not, but I'm just saying in this specific instance,
it works.
It's a reindeer doctor. We're good. That sounds like a good us thing to be.
It's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, weird pride to associate things, but I also I think I take a little bit more like a linkage to it because I actively follow One Piece, and then I have done a lot of fundraising through Games Done Quick, and they've had partnerships with Doctors Without Borders in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, yay, I definitely want to support these things.
This is like multiple things that you love coming
together.
Yes, it is a huge good feels.
Definitely.
Big, big happy vibes.
Hell yeah.
Go support Doctors Without Borders. It's not our specific charity this year, but support them. Even if not financially or
it
with your time, but
always
morally,
a good thing to support Doctors Without Borders.
Morally support them. Yes.
Yeah. Agree.
Supporting Doctors Without Borders will always be supporting people who need help.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's huge.
That's huge.
What else is huge?
My goddamn Pothos is too damn big.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to give me some of said Pothos.
I still can.
Offspring.
I still can. So we like to cultivate a lot of houseplants because it just makes the house brighter, greener, a more pleasant place to be. Absolutely. True. If you don't have houseplants, get some. If you have any kind of natural light coming in, find a plant that works with it and it'll make your life better.
Yeah. One if of you the can't, if you have, can't... If you can't do a big leafy, just do a little succulent. Something that doesn't require a lot of water. Just add it to your life.
Exactly. And so one of the plants that we have is a pothos. A pothos is a vining plant with nice broad leaves. If you have a picture of a leaf in your head, a pothos leaf is certainly it.
Except for the maple leaf.
True. I mean, my maples are blooming, too. I'm really happy about that.
Hooray.
So our pothos, it is about 4 or 5 years old now. The vines on it are huge. Huge! The vines coming out of the dirt are the oldest part of it, and they're like maybe a quarter of an inch in diameter. The vines at the end, they're like 3/4 inch in diameter. They're goddamn branches at this point.
Damn.
It is like 12 feet long. I have it draped along our window, and it's like swooping down, and it goes from the one side to the other side to the back of the other side of the window twice. It is incredible.
It so needs at this point, you're kind of just drawing circles around your windows then.
Yes.
Nice.
This is the opposite of a problem to have because it is so much greenery. It is so much leafery. It is so nice to look at.
It's really aesthetic is like as heck.
Complaining about it is saying that my lobster is too buttery. You know?
I will say, okay, look, I don't know how you feel about said pothos plant, but pruning is a thing. Pruning helps the plant keep healthy. So it's not about uncontrolled growth, for what it's worth. I don't think that's what Angela was talking about. It's just, it is very healthy and it longs to be free. And
it longs
I'm sure Angela,
coming to the point. It's coming to the point where we actually have to chop the vines for the good of the plant.
Oh, jeez.
It's a lot of work for the plant to get nutrients from the dirt and moisture from the dirt all the way up that vine. So we need to prune it. We need to trim it. We need to do some work. Otherwise, it's going to have a bad time. But I have been going through all of my houseplants and giving them similar treatments. I was looking at my bird's eye chili plants. I was cutting off the leaves that were just like way too long. Making sure that it was nice, that it was ready for the spring, because I'm looking out at the outside and it's nice and snowy. We've gotten 2 inches of snow this wonderful morning, so it's clearly spring.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But I want my garden to be nice this year. I was saying my Japanese maples are starting to bloom. They're starting to leaf. And I love to see it. I love those trees. It makes me hyped up. And I need more large plant pots. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to go onto the internet, onto Makerverse, and I was like, I'm going to 3D print more flower pots.
Of course you said that.
Of course I said that. I've got a 3D printer. Why wouldn't I use it to 3D print things?
Why wouldn't you? Especially cute ones.
Especially cute ones. Actually, I was looking at more functional ones. So I found...
I found a
flower pot model that was so large, it literally went up to like the millimeter edges of my build plate. I have a smaller printer, so it's like 18 centimeter by 18 centimeter by 18 centimeter. But I had the largest flower pot I could possibly print with this. And it was a nightmare to get it to print.
Why?
It kept lifting from the bottom.
I know why.
So the first roll of filament that I got with the 3D printer that Dio bought for me back in Christmas, it was perfect. I never had any problems with it. And so I did what any 3D printing newbie would do. And I went onto the internet and bought some of the cheapest Boxing Day sale fucking filament that I could get my hands on.
Angelo!
Bruh.
I'm really disappointed in you right now.
And so, the filaments that I've been getting, I have had... It hasn't exactly been a nightmare, but the problem is that I would have to tune the printer to try to make it work. And so with this one filament that I'm using, I have to crank up the hot plate. It ends up doing a little bit of an elephant's foot thing. I think that's what they call it in the 3D printing community, where it flares out at the base a little bit just because it's a little bit toasty for it. But that keeps it stuck on. If I don't do that, it'll like peel up mid-print and get gummed up in the hot end, and it'll be very... very crunchy sounding to print in. Then you just have to turn it off. But anyway, I finally got, after I think 8 tries, one flower pot.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Congratulations on this your singular flower pot.
I have to say, this sounds exactly like the thing where sometimes you're like, hey, there's a food I really like. I wonder if I could make it at home. And then, like, you buy the ingredients, you do the prep, you check the recipe, you start the food, you realize it took you, like, 14 hours and, like, $200 worth of ingredients when you could have just gone and gotten the food.
Yes, actually. But you know what? Once you figure it out, you can just do it again and again, usually. Usually. So I'm actually pretty happy with what I've managed to do. And one thing that I've been trying to do for the last couple years, I finally decided that this was the flower pot to do it. So the nice thing about this flower pot is that it's self-watering. It has a little water reservoir at the bottom. It's got these legs that you fill up with dirt, and the dirt acts as capillary action to pull the moisture up into the upper water pot.
Mm-hmm.
I need myself a whole fucking lot of Italian basil. Every other time I've tried to grow basil, it just hasn't worked properly for one reason or another. Usually because I get lazy and either I don't water it enough, or I overwater it, or I don't transfer it into a large enough pot once it gets too big for the small solo cup I start the seeds in. So that's what this flower pot is going to be dedicated to. It is going to become a basil garden because I have a primal need to make pesto.
That's really funny. I wish you told me this a week ago. I just used all my excess of basil for exactly making pesto. I make pesto probably about once a month.
I need to be growing enough basil plants where I have monthly pesto.
I could have given you some basil cuttings. I have a bunch.
It's not just getting the basil. Something about growing the basil at home is important.
It's nice.
I could just get fresh basil from the grocery store and make pesto, but...
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but the basil plant I have at home in my small herb arrow garden,
yeah,
it is probably about 3 years old as a plant.
Nice.
And as a result, it's gotten like a little woody stem. It doesn't affect the flavor because you still take you harvest like the tender new shoots that grow from it. But it's like a little bonsai.
It's like a little tree.
It's a little bonsai basil. Yeah, exactly. It's really good. I wish you good luck. If you need basil seeds or cuttings, I will trade you them for some of yours. Also, I know you have pepper plants. I have like 40 pepper plants coming in, and my tomatoes are going nuts right now.
Nice.
Damn. I want some tomatoes.
I should get myself a little cherry or grape tomato plant this year.
We're just going to turn this into a farmer's market.
I'm trying to get my really cool, like, what are they called? The really strange looking... tomatoes that have like
heirloom?
A very heritage name.
Heirloom.
What
tomatoes?
Color are they?
Yeah, so I had a whole bunch of heirloom tomatoes last year, and I saved a bunch of the seeds, trying to get them to sprout.
Nice.
We'll see if it actually works.
If you guys, I always offer this. If you ever need them, just like especially for sprouting, the arrow garden is crazy good at sprouting.
Oh,
that's good.
Like it's very, 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 very good. And from a sprout perspective, I can definitely just give you. It should probably take about 6 days to sprout total.
Damn.
And the success rate, especially for things like tomatoes, very high.
That's good. That's
so
very good.
If for some reason you're not having a lot of luck in the traditional ways, I will do that, and then I can transfer you this sprout.
Woohoo!
Yippee!
Yeah.
Speaking of transferring, I think we got to transfer to the next episode.
We do. We must.
More moments have passed, and now Odafest is ever closer. Thanks for listening.
Have a
good
day.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.